Our opinions expressed on this episode are individual and are not representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. And now Blue Hour with Tian Hani is starting.
Did you hear my voice start to grow?
I didn't hear that.
Tia and Hani,
have you ever wanted to be a law student? Thought about making that bank, studying for years and years to achieve glory, only to find out that you're actually kind of a nepo baby?
I feel like this is a dream of many people, but I don't think many people have experienced this.
Well, Taya, this is the story of what happened to our little Miss Attorney Woo, Young Woo.
I love this little Miss Attorney Woo.
So today's drama, if you haven't guessed, is a law K-drama, something we have never done before. It is episodic, meaning that the plot is different with each episode.
The plot is the same throughout the whole show, like the overarching story. It's just that each episode have their
different
own
case.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Each episode's a different case. And so, with that, we bring to you Extraordinary Attorney Woo.
I love it.
So we start out with our girl, Attorney Woo Young Woo. She is actually autistic.
Wow.
This is the first K-drama we reviewed where the main lead is someone with autism. And so she's our little cutie patootie.
She's really cute.
Such a cutie.
I know.
She like, genuinely, the actress portrayed her in like, such, like, a kind-hearted, like, extraordinary way. But we'll get into that later first. The plot.
Yep.
So she starts out at this new law firm called, what was it called? Hanbada?
I think it was called Hanbada. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Hanbada Law Firm. She starts out as a new attorney. Her father is super, super nervous for his child. We meet her three new coworkers. One is Attorney Jung, her superior. At first glance, when he meets her, he is extremely skeptical. Doesn't think she's suitable for the job. Wonders why their head, the head of the law firm, even considered hiring an autistic person as a lawyer. And you know, it's a spectrum, and based on, like, her, what we see her portray in the very first episode, we can see that she has a lot of struggles with social, with social settings, which is huge for a lawyer because they need to show up in court, they need to be able to talk to their clients and do things like this. And he thinks that she can't, that she's not capable of it.
Exactly. And also, like, the ability to convey someone, right?
You represent
your
client, and he doesn't think that she will ever be able to do that right off the bat because she's autistic.
Yeah.
And we see this same sort of skepticism with her male colleague, who you will see throughout is a little bit of a jerk, but he does have character development towards the end, I have to say.
Yeah.
He just, like, flat out, it's not even just because she's autistic, he just flat out hates the fact that she is a genius. And you can tell from the beginning, like, she's got a special knack for law. She's got that sort of, she's got that law autism, you know? She can memorize things word for word. She's got, like, an eidetic memory.
I think the biggest part where her autism takes in is, like, you know how some lawyers think they have to lie? That's what she can't do in the start.
Yeah.
And I think he hates that because, I don't want to spoil anything, but he's someone that very willingly would lie.
He's kind of like the opposite of her. He's willing to climb over people to get where he wants.
The social
ladder. That's not even an option for her. Like, she doesn't even fathom that. The only person that kind of sees past her autism is her female coworker.
Mm-hmm.
She, what was her name again?
Oh, her name was Choi Soo-yeon.
Oh, yes, Soo-yeon. Mm-hmm. Soo-yeon-y, she's such a cutie patootie, too. because she knew her when she was in law school, she actually reveals that Woo Young-woo graduated the top of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was from Seoul University.
Damn.
Like, that's top, okay?
That's, like, this Harvard in...
woman is a genius. And I will get into my disbelief of standardized testing and whatnot. But, like, the fact that, you know, she has this achievement as, like, summa cum laude, mm-hmm. I think it is. And these people still have the gall to look past that. And say, oh, this is an autistic person who will never be able to succeed because of this
mm-hmm.
condition. And Soo-yeon, like, she doesn't even, like, she thinks about it, but she doesn't treat her.
I feel like Soo-yeon rather thinks about the people around her than Woo Young-woo. You know what I mean? Because, like, she doesn't want to feel left out or mm-hmm. looked upon differently. So she doesn't look upon differently of Woo Young, but it's rather that she's afraid that other people will mistreat her, but she also doesn't want to stand out.
Yeah.
You know, and look like she's the protector of Woo Young.
And that's also why, because it's like, it's realistic, you know, she has that fear of being socially outcasted too, but she's got that kindness in her to protect Woo Young and like care for her because she's a human being.
Yeah.
And it's not like she, like, babies her or coddles her. Like, she treats her like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And she's okay with getting frustrated with her, you know?
Yeah.
My favorite colleague of Woo Young-woo is our male lead.
He is so cute.
Like, he is honestly a cutie. He, his personality is just on a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, genuinely, such an outstanding romance in the K-drama world. You know, he respects her highly. Again, like Soo-yeon treats her like any other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sees past that, doesn't judge. And there's this heartwarming moment, which I don't think it's a spoiler. I'm going to review the moment, but she has a fear of the revolving doors.
Yeah. It's actually a very big point in the whole show.
Yeah. And so she's scared of the revolving doors that lead into her company's building.
Mm-hmm.
And when he sees this, he comes up with this method to help her get through them. Gung, tak, tak, gung, tak, tak. He teaches her how to dance, basically, through the revolving doors to make it easier for her when she's overwhelmed. Because he can tell that she wants to try it. You know, instead of being like, oh, go through these doors, it'll be easier. He sees that she wants to and helps her come up with a way to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like he understands her mind in a different way that the other people don't. Because he understands it's rather just like a blockage in her mind where she can basically step within those doors. But I also feel like those doors is kind of like a metaphor or a reflection of the whole story or the relationship between those two. It's like she teaches him more compassion, I think, and more patience and how to...
Patience, for sure.
Yeah.
She's so feisty.
I think that's the best part about her. I know. That she's unconditionally herself. But she also has such a strong will to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it all... I don't think this is a spoiler, but it all started with her father. Like, wanting to protect her father in some way.
Yeah.
Even though she doesn't express it that way, it's basically how it is.
And her father plays an important role to the plot, too. Like I mentioned before in the tagline, Nepo baby.
We get to know a bit more throughout the
show. Yeah, we won't spoil that part. No. But let's just say she comes from a law family.
Mm-hmm.
From a young age, the genius shows.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But back to, like, the character relationships, what I like is, like, how natural they feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how they progress. It's nothing, like, it feels real.
Yeah.
You know, especially Attorney Jung's character development.
Yeah.
Like, even though he was quick to judge at first, once he realized that she was capable and that he had made a grave mistake,
mm-hmm.
he apologized.
Yeah, and he didn't just apologize, but he also changed his ways.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, like in some shows or like drama specifically, they can be a reflection of the real world, so to say, because, you know, the mm-hmm. real world isn't always pretty. But like sometimes I feel like movies or shows dramatize what the real world is like. Like mm-hmm. it makes it darker or more romantic. It's just like a dramatization of what we're experiencing as, you know, normal yeah. humans. But I felt like with this show, it kind of truthfully, not like a documentary, and maybe some of the romance was in there was a little bit, you know, not realistic. I think the relationship between the people, and especially considering that the main character is autistic, that point of it, I feel like, was very realistic in a heartwarming way.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not always like that. But I think in some degree, that's what we should, or like what we want it to be.
Yeah, like they showed how society treats her
mm-hmm.
as someone who's autistic. You yeah. know, it's not just like flat out bullying. It's, you know, that patronizing pity that, oh, she's not capable of doing this kind mm-hmm. of default mindset that's yeah. woven into people's minds. And then they show how that's challenged and how she challenges people's like default way of thinking.
Yeah.
And that's like the great thing about it is they're all complex characters, you know, they mm-hmm. all have their desires, their motivations. They're not perfect, and that's what makes them perfect as characters.
Exactly. And I also think like with the episodic nature of the show, like, I feel like it has a stronger storyline than, like, you know, Friends, for example. You can mm-hmm. tune into any episode and be fine with watching it. But, like, with this show, it has that episodic where every episode, it finishes something. Like, yeah. it finishes a case. Like, I think, except from, like, two episodes or something like that. But I really feel like the cases that, you know, she's going through, like, within the law system, is making her grow and the people around her grow as characters.
Yeah. It drives everything forward.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, like, even the cases have plot twists and surprises. Like, the amount of, like, representation
yeah.
in this K-drama was crazy, especially, like, well, for Korea, one, that's
yeah.
a conservative society, as we know, and two, just, like, it didn't feel forced. You know, everything mm. just, again, felt natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think especially like two elements was one that was focused on like the abuse that women experience
mm-hmm.
and also like animal abuse as well. That's mm-hmm. actually a like one thing I want to like one thing that is really represented in this show is the whale. I'm not going to say anything about it, but it's just like that overarching feature as well.
You know how autistic people have fixations?
Yeah.
Hers isn't just law, guys. It's also whales.
Whales.
She just like me for real with sharks. But it's like so interesting, like how passionate she is about whale. Like she sees them in everything.
But don't you think that's because she kind of sees herself in them? Like what she's mm-hmm. missing, she's giving to the whales.
Yeah.
Because that's what she wants, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say.
It's so interesting, like the symbolism and
yeah. And I mean, if you think about it, there's this one whale called the Whale 52, and it's a very special whale. It's a real whale, but BTS made a song about it. But basically, this whale, it operates on a certain frequency when it talks, and there's no other whale in the ocean that talks in that same frequency. So it's known as the most lonely whale in the world.
Aww.
That's why BTS made a song about it. But like, I just find it so interesting because whales have so complex like emotion system, or like their emotion nerve system, like the way they communicate. Their level of intelligence is beyond, I think, what we can even think about. And maybe that's why she's almost like represented as like, you know, for the whales or something.
Yeah, because
like
people feel like her mind to something that's not even comprehensible.
Yeah, maybe. Well, because people can admire her for her work, but they also don't want to give her credit for it because apparently she's too special or her brain works differently.
Mm.
And I think that unfairness is really well represented in this show.
Mm.
And it's not just like dramatized or, you know, or like under whatever, not undertized, I don't think that's a word, but like
thrown under the rug.
Exactly. It's real and it happens to a lot of people. Like, just because your brain works a bit differently doesn't mean that you shouldn't get the credit that mm-hmm. you deserve for doing what you're doing.
Exactly. And you know, like, for every strength that she gained from being autistic, mm-hmm. there's so much that she has to endure.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to frame that as like a loss. I don't think her being autistic is a weakness at all.
No.
But the way society treats her
yeah.
and the way it's portrayed in the drama, like you can see.
When I was younger, like I always was told and like taught that you don't treat people differently based on who they are, or of course you might be talking to your friend differently than your parents or whatever, but like everyone's human, right? But I think if a society tells you that people with autism are different, your brain is gonna imagine like, oh, okay, so that means I have to think about them differently.
Mm-hmm.
Or like it's just a societal thing that we've been taught where like, oh, autistic people are different from people, but everyone's on the spectrum. Like,
yeah,
autism is a
spectrum.
And I think that's what this show really, like, showcases well, is how
mm-hmm.
it is a spectrum. And it also doesn't mean that you have to treat someone differently just because they have autism.
And, yeah, you know, it's, like, ingrained into us from the start. Like, it's ingrained to us the way that they're labeled, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, special needs. These are special kids, special people.
Mm.
And like, I understand like the reasoning behind it. Like, yes, they do have special needs, but that kind of like constant labeling is what kind of alienates and divides.
Yeah. But I feel like with our generation, it's getting a lot better.
Yeah, I think with our generation, it's definitely like, especially I feel like there's more of a rise in people who are getting diagnosed as neurodivergent.
They said that happened during the COVID era.
I do think it, I think it did do something,
well,
honestly.
I saw some doctor talk about it, or I heard some doctor talk about it, and he said that it's just that when you're in society and, like, in the busy world the whole time, people with autism have learned to suppress that, like, you know, their reactions or, like, what they're feeling. But when they were stuck alone at home and they had nobody to tell them how to act, that autism came up to the surface. And that's why they now got diagnosed with autism. It was always there. It was just that with society, they learned to suppress it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but...
Yeah, COVID brought a lot of interesting realizations for people. But yeah, especially with, like, ADHD, like... More and more people, I feel. Well, maybe that's because all my friends are, but but like, yeah, neurodivergence is definitely like being accepted as something normal now. Like it's
and
just
maybe,
a different.
I think honestly,
brain wiring
division is like. I feel like we all have some type of it. It's just we're on a different scale. Like some people just experience it more. It's just a spectrum. It's and I think. The more we grow as a society and the more we learn with empathy, we also understand that, like, it's okay for people to be different. We don't all have to be the same.
It is what it is. You know, labels are just labels. So what? You're autistic. Name me 30 sharks. Like, that's a talent.
It is. Maybe the reason why autistic people got put down was because people without autism
were jealous. Burn them at the stake.
But seriously though, if you think about it, maybe that's what it was.
I think so.
If you think about, like,
I mean, I think that's
history throughout history.
The reason why people hate on a group of people, it's because they're scared of something different. I think, like, Extraordinary Attorney Woo Young-woo.
Yeah, I called her Woo Young for this whole time. It's Woo Young-woo. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, her name's Young Woo.
All this time I've called it Woo Young, but it's Young Woo.
Yeah, it's confusing because her name is symmetrical, like kayak, race car, taco cat. But I think this K-drama is ultimately like a celebration of human relationships, you know? It's just, it's so heartwarming. Like, I cried so many times. Just the way they explore it, it's truly, truly touching.
I agree. And this show also got very recognized around the world. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of times does, like, K-dramas. Like, of course, maybe some movies have been recognized in America or stuff like that. But this, like, a K-drama is not very common. At least I haven't heard of it, except from, like, Squid Games.
Yeah.
But this show actually got nominated for an Emmy, which is crazy. Yay. I mean, I understand why.
Yeah,
but,
like still. The production quality, the writing, yeah. The acting, everything was phenomenal.
And the actress that plays Young-woo, she's played in a lot of dramas, and I love so many of them. Park Eun-bin.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like she really represented autism really well. Like, she didn't make fun of it. She took time to learn what it meant to be autistic. And of course, they could have done it with someone that had autism, but at the same time, they might have not been able to follow through with the script the same way. So by her really educating herself, you know,
mm-hmm.
she was able to portray her character.
And I saw a lot of comments like, oh, I have a child that has autism, and Park Eun-bin like portrayed it extremely accurately. Like, I think the whole world was surprised.
Yeah. I remember. I've watched it twice or three times so far, the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And she also was, of course, nominated and won the Baeksang Art Awards.
As she should.
Yep.
I honestly think it deserved an Emmy.
Yeah.
If it was American, it would have gotten an Emmy. So, what would you rate this?
Oh, I would give this 9 teacups and 9 honey drops.
Oh, where'd the one honey drop go?
There was one part in the show where I felt it went a bit too slow, where I feel like if I wasn't so invested in the show as I was, I would have fallen off.
Mm.
Because it took a little bit too long for me. That might just be a personal thing. I just feel like there was something there that I felt like it was stuck. But maybe that was the purpose of, like, intended, might have been. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
I just feel like in that sense. But the acting and the chemistry between the actors really was blown through the roof.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy.
I would give it 10 teacups.
10 teacups?
Have I given a show that yet?
I feel like you gave one show 10 teacups. Oh, maybe I did. I think I did, and then you gave, like,
yeah. Kind of drops. Okay, this one gets
that.
10.
That one. Okay. Well, that's a great end for, like, our...
It's not my favorite K-drama, but it deserves 10.
You know what? I understand that.
Like, it is just a 10. I don't know what to say. Don't know what to say.
It just makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
Everything about it.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss.
It's chef's kiss, truly. The acting, the writing, the filming.
So, what song would you give this?
I actually feel like Waelian 52 because of what I said.
That's a solid choice.
Yeah.
I think she would approve our Uri Uyangu. We're done.
Okay, we might not finish the podcast. I feel like we're going to continue with the podcast.
We are.
Too sad. But for
our
this
last
season.
Last time in the recording room.
I know.
Until next year.
That's crazy. September?
No. We'll see you next year, Darren.
Is he coming to school next year? To TMU?
No, but I know he's listening right now.
This was Tia.
This was Honey.
It's Blue Hour. Okay, I have it.
Okay.
See here. Ah, high five. Okay, you said ma to the tia to the cast, and then you say oh to the ha to the na.
Yeah. Okay. Ma to the te to the Carlson.
Oh to the te. Oh wait. Oh, okay. Again.
Ma to the te to the Carlson.
Oh to the ha to the na.
Ha. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Forever.
Forever.
Bye-bye.
And ever.
And ever.
Oh my God.
And ever.
Bye.